Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. So we've got some good news. And I think it illustrates from a psychological standpoint what might be happening in our society that has become addicted to having some form of hysteria and outrage at all time. And I remember looking at a tweet from Mark Andreessen, who was the gentleman that I think developed and created, was it Netscape? It was like the first internet browser. This was back in the 90s. And he made just a ton of money, millions, you know, when the company went public, he sold. And then he kind of parlayed that into a career as a VC in Silicon Valley. But he's very well respected. But he came out with that idea that maybe the reason we're seeing some sanity in terms of the Cerveza sickness, or I think even on YouTube, I could call it COVID now. I don't think I'll get the channel taken down for that. You never know. But he said that maybe the reason we can now be more logical and quote unquote scientific, ironically enough, and use critical thinking regarding COVID is because we have taken that hysteria and we've moved it over to Russia, Ukraine. And so that's kind of his hypothesis, that we always have to have something to be hysterical about. We always have to have something to release our rage, but we only need one. So I guess if his hypothesis is true, let's just assume that Russia, Ukraine is over tomorrow. Hopefully it will be. The question then becomes, where does the hysteria and the outrage go next? I think it could go towards quote-unquote misinformation and disinformation just in general. And we discussed that on the last video, how the U.S. effectively has set up the Ministry of Truth, although they're calling it something a little bit different, but not much different. Well, let's go into the good news here. And I guess then we'll kind of circle back and see if we can come to some conclusions as to if the world can now be a little more sane about the Cerveza sickness, unfortunately, because we've moved that hysteria towards Russia. Here's the article from CNBC. Denmark becomes the first country to halt its COVID vaccination program. Now, for those of you who are very, very adamant about vaccines and pro-vaccines, that's fine. I completely respect your opinion. But before you start freaking out, keep in mind that they're not abandoning the vaccines. You can still get them, but they're just kind of dismantling their, let's say, PR push, I think is from what I got from the article. And I think they're taking a very logical, rational, unemotional approach. Makes a lot of sense. But I'm not going to give them an A+ just yet, because we'll look at this chart and I'll show you what I'm referring to. But I give them at least, we'll give them a B+. So key talking points. Denmark has become the first country to halt its Cerveza sickness program, saying it is doing so because the virus has been brought under control. Spring has arrived, vaccine coverage in the Danish population is high. And see, here's why I'm giving them a B+. And because when we get into the chart, you'll see how these comments, they really don't make a lot of sense. Now the spring, I think, does, because there's some data that would suggest that the Cerveza sickness was more seasonal. I say some, you know, I don't know that it's conclusive. So then the last key talking point, far from scrapping its program altogether. However, the Danish Health Medicine Authority said there will be probably a need to vaccinate again in the fall. So, you know, obviously the first question there is, If you had this vaccine program and you're letting it slide now, but you're reinstituting it in the fall, then that would imply if you need to reinstitute it in the fall and all your population or a high percentage of your population is vaccinated, then this would imply that the vaccines don't last very long. Okay. So then if the vaccines don't last very long, well, then how long do they last? And if you actually look at the data, you'll see that it's maybe 10 weeks and then it really starts to slide. And if that's the case, then why are you getting rid of the program? See, when you really kind of scratch beneath the surface, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And again, that's why I'm giving them a B+. So they go on to give some key metrics as far as their deaths, hospitalizations, cases. But really, it goes back to this chart right here. So this is daily new confirmed cases per million of the cerveza sickness. And this black line is Denmark. The red line is Australia. And I'm going to get to Australia in just a moment here. But we can see that right now, Denmark is about 296 per million. But what's interesting is, let's go back to 2021, when I'm sure they were really, really, really pushing this program. And if I'm not mistaken, Denmark actually had a passport to where you couldn't go into restaurants and whatnot, public transportation, unless you had proven that you had the medicine. But look at the cases back then. Less than it is today. So now, are you going to tell me that they somehow foresaw the this spike, which obviously the Omicron variant? Hey guys, I want to remind you to get your tickets to Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the live conference I do twice per year with all of your favorite speakers from the Rebel Capitalist show and experts in investing, commodities, real estate, freedom, and liberty. All of your favorite topics, all of your favorite speakers. The next Rebel Capitalist Live is going to be in Miami. And tickets increase in price as we get closer to the event. So go to rebelcapitalistlive.com right now to get your tickets to the next Rebel Capitalist Live. It's the conference you cannot afford to miss. It'll help you increase your financial freedom and, more importantly, your personal freedom. You'll get intel that you won't hear anywhere else. Past speakers have included icons in macroeconomics, investing, and personal freedom and liberty. People like Dr. Ron Paul, Robert Kiyosaki, Brent Johnson, Lynn Alden, Jeff Snyder, Richard Werner, Mark Moss, Lynette Zhang, and Robert Breedlove, just to name a few. So once again, go to Rebel Capitalist Live right now and get your tickets today. By the way, if the medicine is that amazing, and you have a very high percentage of your population that has the medicine, and most likely the limitless number of boosters, why on earth did this spike get so high? You would think that the medicine would prevent that from happening. But then, of course, the pushback is, oh, George, you don't know what you're talking about. That's what not what the medicine's for. The medicine's not for preventing transmission. Like it was sold to us back in 2020. You know, they forget. They have selective amnesia, right? That's the way it was sold to us. It's only for reducing hospitalization rates and whatnot. Okay. It's funny how kind of the facts or the intentions or the purpose of the medicine changes with its efficacy. sorry, Bitcoin guys, but it's a little bit like the Bitcoin guys too, where they first come out and say, oh yeah, it's going to replace the dollar. It's transactional. It's a global currency. And they say, actually it's just a digital reserve asset. Oh, it's actually, it kind of keeps changing based on its current use case and what it's available to do. And I think it's the same here with the cerveza or with the medicine. And, so, you know, again, the logic to me doesn't make a lot of sense, because if they're saying basically the cerveza sickness is over, they don't have to worry about it at 266, why were they adamant about it in 2021 where they're only at 80? So now let's move on to Australia, because I get a lot of pushback from the Aus that say, George, yes, we live in a prison state, but it's great because look at our case count. We've beaten the cerveza sickness. We took these extreme measures, and because we didn't allow anyone to leave their house, and we didn't allow kids to go on a playground, and because we set up these quarantine camps that are oddly similar to what we saw in Germany in the 1930s. And because we wouldn't allow people to see their family members on Easter and all these things, we crushed the cerveza sickness. Oh, really? Did you? Because you didn't crush the Omicron scariant. That's for sure. And I would, and they would push back and say, well, our Omicron scariant wasn't as bad as Denmark. You know, them, those Denmark people and all their stupid freedoms. Oh, yeah. Disgusting. You know, we were smart enough to eliminate all of our freedom and look at how well we did with the cerveza sickness. You know, we were smart enough to lock everyone in a cage and give government complete and total power and control. And we were smart enough to not allow our citizens to leave the country, the first step in a tyrannical government, by the way. But we really have better statistics than everyone else. So obviously we were the smart ones here. This is the argument you get from a lot of people down under. Now, what you'll notice is that Denmark plummets and Australia remains relatively high. Australia now is at 1,672. Denmark, again, around 290, 294. We'll call it 300. And I think it's going to be fascinating to see what happens in the future. If I was placing a bet on this, I would bet that Denmark stays relatively low and Australia stays relatively high, if not goes higher. Why? Two words, natural immunity. So yes, it's true. You crushed your economy. You destroyed civil liberties, freedoms, and you did a great job becoming a tyrannical government and a tyrannical police state. Yes, you did that very, very well. But in the process, you didn't allow people to get the cerveza sickness, most notably the recent scariant, which is the best form of medicine we have. Let me clarify. In terms of the immunity that it provides moving forward. Now, of course, there's the argument that, George, well, then you have to risk getting the cerveza sickness. I get it. But just setting that aside, and by the way, we've got to age stratify that, right? Because remember, if you look at a 15-year-old male that's very healthy, the medicine is actually a higher risk from a health standpoint than the cerveza sickness. So in that case, that person, it would be advantageous for them to have the, let's say, natural immunity compared to the artificial Pfizer-induced quote-unquote immunity that lasts for 10 weeks, by the way. So this is, I think, interesting, kind of an interesting side note that we'll have to see what happens to Australia. But I think that their numbers are going to remain high until they get to a point where, of course, they have the same levels of natural immunity as Denmark has and the rest of the world. So my point there is that all of this crushing of the economy and turning your country into a tyrannical police state is for nothing. Because at the end of the day, Australia will have just as many cases as Florida when you look at it on a per capita basis. So they go on, getting back to the article here, they're talking about how, I think here's, they're adding a quote here from their health minister or their version of Voldemort. He added that immunization was still recommended for people for whom COVID posed a high risk, such as those over the age of 40, and I would assume with multiple comorbidities. We also continue to recommend that you complete your started course. So, I mean, this makes a lot of sense. This is logic. This is not being team anti-vax or team vax or, you know, it's just using common sense here. So yes, if you're 80 years old and you weigh 400 pounds, it's probably a good idea to go ahead and get the medicine. But again, if you're that 15-year-old, you might want to talk to your doctor about that. Just again, common sense. And there the article ends. So I guess the point there is there's room for optimism, at least from my standpoint, that we have these countries now taking what I think is a much more reasonable approach to the cerveza sickness. And hopefully this continues. And obviously, what's happening in Russia is a complete disaster in Ukraine in every single way. But if there is some good news, the good news is that it takes the attention off of the last hysteria and allows people to think, and governments, hopefully, to think more critically about the restrictions that they've imposed on society at large. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. See you in the next video.